Sandra, and Noah.
Hello.
Hey.
And welcome to another episode of the Theater World Podcast.
Yes, we have our special guest here tonight, or today, whatever time it is. It's Aishi.
Aishi Panwar, welcome to the show.
Hello.
And she's going to be talking about her new musical that she's in. It's an online Zoom musical.
Yes, it is.
Presenting Unwound Beyond the Labyrinth.
Hello. So basically, this musical, Unwound Beyond the Labyrinth, is the story of Ariadne as she kind of has her two different timelines. The first one
And that's
is,
you, right?
Yes. So I'm the one who is the second timeline. Because the first timeline is while she's mortal. So it's like Ariadne, the memory. And then there's Ariadne, the past. I mean, not the past, the goddess. And that's me. And I'm kind of experiencing the afterlife.
Let's zoom out.
Okay, sounds good.
tell us kind of the general premise of this musical. It's an original musical was it written for online? Because it was presented in a kind of virtual YouTube Zoom format.
Yeah, so with that, it is an original musical, and it was actually written to be done on stage, and there was no online anything when it was being written. I think it was written 2 or 3 years ago at this point, maybe more than that, written by our lovely writer, Amanda Goa. They've been working on it for a very long time, and they had several readings, because this entire thing has been a workshop process, so it's gone through so many changes over time. Fun fact, the original name for the musical, because this was pre-pandemic, was Corona the Musical. And my character's name is actually Corona.
Oh my.
Because of Crown, not
Gotta
because
change
of
that.
Yeah.
Gotta
yeah.
Change that.
No thanks.
Because I remember seeing, like, I went back on the Instagram because after I found it and auditioned, I was like, this is really cool, but like, I don't know very much about it. And I just scroll down and I see Corona the Musical and I'm like, what? Does this have to do with the...
When you signed up for this interview, this audition, was it before the coronavirus or before, after or during or what's going on?
It was during. So I happened to find it. I actually found it because a friend of mine was a stage manager for a show that I worked on pre-pandemic. And then about a year later, she was wrapping up a different show that she worked on with some of the creative team from Unwound before I knew what it was. And I saw her post something on her Instagram story and I was like, that looks really cool. And I haven't done theater in so long. And I think auditions were due in November. So I like messaged her and I was like, hey, do you know anything about this? I mean, do you know much about this? Cause like she did post about it. And she was like, yeah, I have a friend who's working on this and it looks really cool. And I feel like you would be a great fit. And so I was like, okay. And so I signed up and I auditioned. And then we started working in January of 2021. So this whole thing basically was 2021 for me.
What is it like rehearsing a show that is presented digitally?
It is bizarre. We held rehearsals on Discord, which was very smart because Zoom is great too for rehearsing. I did some other shows where I rehearsed on Zoom, but they were too... hopefully be done in person. They weren't, but that was the idea. But with this, the idea at this point in time, the idea was to just get people from around the world to do something virtual that we would never be able to do otherwise. So we had people in different time zones. Well, we had one person who was in Ireland. Wow. And so he was tuning in from Ireland. And then a lot of people were from either like the East Coast or me from here, from the Bay Area in California. So it was like, we would like come together at certain times, we would join this Discord call, and then we would just, they would like, I don't know, it was just like rehearsal, but the weird part was that like, it's like here up. So you don't really, I mean, what, like you see like the top halves of people.
Right.
Right.
And sometimes you don't even see people at rehearsal because they're not called at the same time as you, or they're not in the same scenes as you. I feel like I'm going on a little bit of a tangent here, but when I watched the live reading, not the live reading, when I watched the concert version that came out recently, I remember just watching scenes that I don't think I'd ever watched before, mm-hmm. because it's not like a live, like an in-person rehearsal where you kind of like walk past things, or they'll call multiple groups at the same time and they'll work on different things and then you'll like kind of like whatever.
It's because more like this, shooting it's a movie than exactly. putting on a play.
Yeah, piecing it together.
Exactly. Yeah.
And did you have to record all of your audio beforehand? I know that's how a lot of these things are presented, where you're recording and then when you're recording the video, you're kind of lip syncing so that you can sync everything together and make it sound profesh.
Yes. So my lovely recording studio is basically, it was my bathroom. Oh. And so I had this whole like setup so that I could record, and we had like recordings due by certain days. And then after that, so basically what we would do is we would do a draft of each song whenever it was due. We would do the draft. And then after that, and it could be kind of like a crappy first draft kind of thing. And then after that, they would correct everything and they'd be like, okay, we're going to do this, 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 and this. And this would just be to allow us to kind of like, they could put the voices together. Mm-hmm. So if we had a group song, for example, our opening number, The Labyrinth, it really allowed us to kind of like hear everything together. It wasn't going to sound as good as the final product.
So the draft was like the rehearsal track?
Yes. So we basically had to make our own rehearsal tracks because this is an original musical, which is kind of cool to think about it like that.
Without the favorite saying, rehearsal tracks, over it.
Exactly. And there's no copyright issue.
This is a rehearsal track. Copyrighted music.
This is a rehearsal track. Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
So the musical is about Greek mythology. It's told through all these different weaving narratives, because there's a theme of pulling the string and tying the string. Yes, the thread. Talk about the themes. There's like all these themes of queerness, of coming of age, of growing up. It seems like a young adult Hadestown.
Yeah. And fun fact again, this musical, I think it was, according to the writer, it was heavily influenced by Hadestown, or at least the writer got the idea for it when they watched Hadestown. So
I could see that.
It was, or the writer, sorry, not the director. But like, it's just really cool to kind of see like just how influential other musicals are. And like, there's definitely.
And where's the writer based?
She's based in. It's somewhere on the East Coast. I can't remember if it's New York or Philly, but somewhere in that area.
So Unwound, is this taking place during Theseus and the Minotaur start, like beginning, end, after? Where does this put us?
It takes place both during, so there's flashbacks. So I guess the main timeline is during like when Dionysus appears. So that's my timeline. And then you get flashbacks to Ariadne and Theseus. But Theseus isn't there in the musical. We don't have a Theseus. He's just referred to because.
I mean, who needs him anyway, right? Killed a Minotaur and that's it.
He left me to die. Like, what am I going to do?
Yeah, left you on an island.
It's a very interesting story. Highly recommend.
Yeah, just give us like a 10-second like plot synopsis.
Oh boy. Okay. Ariadne is she is the daughter of King Minos. And she, oh God, this is hard. She has this brother who is the Minotaur, and she's like, he's my baby brother. I can't do anything. Like, I don't want to. And basically her dad is like, you need to figure this out because you are the only one who can talk to him. And you're the only one who can like really keep him like chill. I don't know. But basically people need to be, they not people. What am I saying? The Minotaur feeds off of people, like children.
Yeah, you have to like feed the Minotaur every year, right? Like a certain amount of people.
Metaphorically or literally?
No, physically.
No, literally.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
You just send them in there and they like have fun.
And they're like, okay. Yeah, they're literally sacrificing human children. So because of that, King Minos has a little bit of an issue with that because he's like, that's my kid, but I don't like that. And Ariadne's like, he's my brother. What? And then she meets Theseus, who is one of the people who's going to be sacrificed. But then she kind of like, you know, she's like, oh, I like that one.
Hubba hubba.
So yeah. Then they kind of link up. And then after a certain point, basically her dad is like, sorry, I think I told it partly wrong. Her dad is like, okay, we have to keep feeding him every year with these kids. And Theseus, because he's one of the people, she's like, well, I don't want him to die now because I like him. So then
I got to put me first.
Exactly. So then Theseus is like, okay, pew, pew. I mean, he uses probably his sword to kill the Minotaur. Because the Minotaur is kind of like, you know, eating children. A monster. So,
yeah. But doesn't Ariadne give him stuff? Like she gives him like a spool of yarn and some like.
Yes. And then that's kind of where you get the integration of the thread that holds everything together.
Yeah, it's presented in a cool way. I watched a few of the videos and yeah, like the string is like. In the various square panels of, you know, where people are, the string is like connected and they're all pulling and being pulled and washing the blood off their hands. And it's very, very kind of brooding and angsty in that way where it's exploring the metaphor of what it feels like to be pulled and connected to one another in ways that we might not understand. Right.
So true.
I'm smoking a long cigarette and scratching my goatee as I make this proclamation.
Philosophical.
And so since this is a like new production, what was the process like of originating the role and kind of bringing your own essence into it?
It was really weird. I've had several discussions with the director and the assistant director and the dramaturgs about just how, because with not regular theater, but like theater that has been done before, I've done a few shows and it is like, okay, I have this inspiration of this person who did this role and then this person who did this role. Exactly. Or if somehow I'm like, I don't like what these two people did, so I'm going to do my own thing. But
right,
it's like
you know
knowing
what you can change.
From example.
Yeah, exactly. You have no scaffolding to develop that.
Nope. So I just remember them being like, you can put yourself into it. That's good. We want that. And I was like, oh, this is the first time I've been asked to like bring myself into the character rather than just like, hey, you know, like you individualize this character yourself. Like you
it's
can
not
individualize
like
her.
Yeah, we want you to be like Idina Menzel. Can you please do that? Thanks.
Right. And it's like, because with like other roles, they're like, you know, like add your own flair to it. But in this, it's like, this is you.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was
that's
very weird
experience.
Getting used to it. Totally
is it also cool. A little like, you're like, wow, I have the weight of the show on my shoulders kind of thing too?
Yes. It was kind of scary, but in a like good way, I guess. Because I was like, this is something that I'm actually going to get to do. Which other people might not get to do ever. So it's like, it's kind of surreal.
All right, well, let's take a short break and hear a clip from one of your songs, Ariadne's Lament.
Okay.
Oh, if you only knew of my twisted past, which I wish I could undo. The awful truth of why I was left here, heartbroken and bruised. Oh, you'd only hate me too. Ooh, I don't deserve happiness. I don't deserve to dance. Take no chance on me, please. I don't deserve happiness, oh, the guilt it hides festers inside of me. There is no right.
we're back on Theater World with Aishi Panwar, talking theater, talking world, talking unwound. Let's talk about, so we ourselves are no stranger to Zoom Theater. You're a veteran of our productions. You started with us in late 2020 when you burst onto the scene when we did Les Mis. You gave us a wonderful rendition of Fantine, made us cry with I Dreamed a Dream. can you talk about the kind of differences between these two experiences? Because it feels like it's kind of the polar opposites of the Zoom theater experience to what this was Unwound, which is a very meticulously constructed, immaculately produced, full-on musical, as opposed to our shows, which are more flying by the seat of your pants, one night only, event, party show, have fun with it style.
Yeah. I remember the first reading that I did. I practiced so much because I was like, oh my God, I don't know these people. Like, I don't know what this is going
to
be like.
Probably didn't know what to expect.
And I was like, well, no.
Yeah. And also, like, I'm going to be totally honest. I didn't know Les Mis as well as I thought I did. So I knew I Dreamed a Dream. Everyone knows I Dreamed a Dream. So I was like, okay, you're I got like, it. Good. And then I looked through the rest of this, like the libretto, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, we did the entire show. We didn't do like the selections that you get on a CD.
No.
But the good thing about that show is that it's just the same four melodies over and over and over and over again.
True. But I didn't realize that until the reading itself. And I was like, okay, this is easier than I thought. And then it was over. And I was like, great. Now I know the show.
Well, yeah. But now everyone knows
really,
the show.
Really, really cool. Yeah. Great. But it was really fun. Like, I remember I spent a lot of time practicing, and then I got there and everyone was just like having a good time. And there was no like stress to do super duper like perfect or whatever. And so I remember like having my
camera off.
Yeah,
that's not what it's about.
Yeah, I like had my camera off at certain points because like I wasn't, I mean, spoiler, Fantine dies.
Oh,
yeah. I'm sorry to tell you that. But just like I had my camera off at parts that I wasn't on because I played a couple of other characters too, just so that I wouldn't be sitting there doing nothing until the end of the show.
I mean, to be honest, like sometimes when the camera's off with me, I just like lay down on my bed and like just close my eyes and listen to people singing. Sometimes that's just what I do.
It's great because everyone else sounds really good. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to just not.
And I think that was like the most people that were new when we did that one, Noah, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for sure. I think it was. People kind of came out of the woodwork for that one.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And we're glad that you're a part of our troupe now. It's like you're a regular.
Yeah, I'm glad too, because this whole, I mean, obviously, like this whole pandemic shutdown situation has been so weird, especially like in terms of theater. I mean, it's been weird for other reasons, but like in terms of theater... And it happened like right after I started getting into theater, because I started doing theater mid-2019. So I was like starting to like really do shows and like audition for things. And I was really excited to like get into it. And then all of a sudden they're like, stay home. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, because before that, were you in the chorus? Were you in choir a lot? Or what were you doing before?
I did a lot of choir in high school. I'm in choir again now, actually, which is really cool because it's kind of like a full circle moment. But I did choir in high school, never did theater. I mean, I did a little bit of theater, but I didn't really do anything. Then in 2019, that was my first year of college. I randomly was like, you know what? I'm going to audition for this show through the company Upstage Theater. And I was like, let me just see what happens. And then I got the role that I wanted. And I was like, this is insane. I have never done a show like this before. And then I was like, I really like this. And then I was like, I want to keep doing this. So I like caught the theater bug. And then unfortunately, about 7 months later, people were catching actual bugs and getting sick. So I was like, okay, it's fine. I literally had auditioned for a show and the cast list came out the day before the shutdown.
What a letdown.
Yeah.
I also got the role I wanted there.
Oh, it feels like, the pandemic was such an identity crisis for actors and people who want to do theater. And I'm really glad that we have kind of been able to find a kind of supplemental not a, like a kind of placeholder.
A placebo drug.
A placebo, yeah, exactly. Just a way to keep working out and a way to keep the muscles going. Even though it's obviously not the same feeling as performing on a stage for a real audience with other people around you, but it's a way to at least simulate that. Because singing for people on the screen is completely different and unlocks different things inside of you than just like singing in your car or singing in the shower.
We
all do as well.
But it's like a performance workout too, because I think I've done more shows than I've ever done in real life than on
me too.
So it's insane to think about. And I'm like, my voice sounds really good now. And I'm like, what is that? Yeah. And I'm like, it's all this rehearsing and practicing and singing.
Yeah, it kind of whips you into performing full out for when you've got people that you're looking at on screen. It unlocks a different level of, rather than just kind of singing the songs that you like around the house. It's a completely different mode.
Do you think that you got a little more confidence working with us, or is it something that you're just building right now? I mean, you're a new performer.
Yeah, I think I got a pretty good amount of confidence in the sense of there's roles that I feel like, based on the way that people cast shows, I don't think I would get in on an actual stage, even though I will say I think I could easily handle them. But for example, in the reading of Chicago, I was Velma Kelly. And I just feel like that's such a role that I would never play. I would love to play her in person on a stage, but it's just I don't know. I feel like if I auditioned for a production of it in person, I feel like something would go wrong during the audition or something weird would I would almost quote unquote self-sabotage.
And that was honestly one of the main mission statement goals of Theater World, was to give people a chance to do these roles that they might not have the chance to do in real life because of age or experience or time or type or anything, any of those extenuating circumstances. We really were conscious of making the effort to give people a chance to have those big starring roles that might not happen immediately or as readily in the real world.
Yeah, and you know what? I think we even were like, oh, you know what? Aishi, yes, absolutely. Velma Kelly. There was no questions about it. So maybe you will be playing her one day on stage.
That would be amazing, because I had so much fun with that role.
And also, honestly, you were someone, when we were casting the shows, we were like, we can just put you anywhere and just trust that you can do it.
That's so sweet.
Out of all our shows that we've done on Zoom, what was your favorite part that you played?
Oh, God, that's so hard. There's so many. For one thing, Catherine from Pippin was probably, that was the coolest thing, because that was the first show I ever saw.
Right, I remember you talking about that. That's what really got you into theater.
Yeah. And I loved it. And Catherine was one of my dream roles. Catherine and the leading player had been one of my dream roles in so long, since freshman year of high school. And I'm in my fourth year of college right now. So it's been a while. And so getting to do one of those was crazy. And that was amazing. And I think another favorite would probably be Velma Kelly. Because once again, that's so cool. She's just got this different,
iconic.
I mean, obviously she's a murderer, powerhouse. But besides that, she's got this confidence and aura to her that's just so different than the characters that I usually play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool. It was very fun.
All right. Do we want to move into our lightning round, Dan?
I think so. I think this is a good time to move into our lightning round.
Okay, so let's move into our lightning round. We've got a few quick hitters questions, just talking theater, talking Broadway. We're going to get your opinion and your feelings on these things. So, Aishi, who is your favorite diva?
Patti LuPone, hands down. I love her.
Amazing.
I would kill to see her in the new production of Company right now.
Me too. Yeah. Me too.
Sandra, you might have shown me this. Actually, do you follow? There's a great Instagram account of this guy. It's called Inappropriate Patty.
Yes, I love him.
Yep.
I'll put a couple clips of him right here, just so we can have a little context. The impression just goes so far by doing so little.
It's so funny.
Yeah, it's just about a vibrato and kind of slurring your words, and you got a Patti LuPone.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a drunk person.
Singing everything on the air vowel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hail to the ladies, hold on.
I think you got it.
On the air vowel.
That was pretty good. That's
the trick. Everything on the air.
Basically. Yeah. Just throw it in the cheek of your corner of your mouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Out.
We briefly touched on this, but do you have a number one dream role?
Ooh, okay. I feel like I'd probably say the leading player in Pippin. Okay. She's so scary. I love it.
Yeah, the female version of that role in the you know, recent revival was really dynamic.
And she's a little more malicious than Ben Vereen, right?
Yeah, she's like scary.
She's like, oh, Ben yes, come and join us. But you know, what is your alternate, like, you know, motive? Like, what's her motivation here?
Yeah, I love all the songs she sings.
So cool. Yeah, like every single one is so good.
And okay, what's your intermission snack?
Ooh, that's it. For one thing, water. During shows, I'm always like, wow, I'm like the epitome of health. I just constantly want water. But I think it's just saying that I'm like sweating and doing work.
Yeah,
so I
you
need
basically
more water,
are losing.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm drinking the amount of water I probably should have been drinking the whole time. But besides that, that's such a good question. I don't think I've thought about that before.
Yeah, when you're at like a nice big expensive show, you got your seats, you got your wrappers. What are you unwrapping?
Yeah. And is this like me seeing a show or me doing a show?
Yeah, you can see a show.
I consider it as seeing a show.
Okay. I feel like I don't really eat anything during intermission because I'm kind of like, I'm like reflecting. And then by the time it's over, I have no concept of time. So
you're
like
just rereading the program.
Yeah.
Talking about the first act.
Yeah. I saw Hamilton. I saw the touring cast of Hamilton in October, which was really cool. It was amazing. But I just like during intermission, like everyone else was like, okay, I'm going to go use the bathroom or I'm going to go get some water. And I was like, I like pulled aside my friend and I was like, okay, let's debrief about act one. And she was like, oh my God, I don't know theater. Oh my God.
Let's talk about like, the lighting choice in the upstage section of this song.
Yeah.
That movement with the chair like, over really the like, head.
This. Yeah. That was smooth. I think that could have been a little bit like clearer.
You sound like a director now.
Sometimes I would like to be, but
there's still time.
That's true.
Should we ask her to do her last thing, maybe a Carol Channing impersonation?
Oh, why not?
Oh, God.
Why not? We'll give it a shot, and if it doesn't work, we'll cut it out.
Oh, God. Okay. Raspberries. Do that one.
Wait. I think I need to hear that again.
No! Okay. Raspberries.
I love it.
Wonderful. We got to send you the Carol Channing jam clip.
Oh yeah, you definitely need to just watch all of Alice Adventures Through the Looking Glass with Carol Channing.
Yes, that sounds great.
Because if you love raspberries, you'll love how much Carol Channing talks about jam. I love jam. Jam tomorrow, but never jam yesterday.
Yes.
But never, ever jam today.
And then you find out you never get jam because it's never today. It's always either yesterday or the day before. And you're like, well, where do I get jam? Never.
where do I get jam?
Yeah, she was like, but when do I get to have any jam? Never any jam. Like, it's never just unhinged.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Oh my God.
Just flipping her wig around.
That's so funny.
And finally, Aishi, can you describe to us the greatest experience you've had at the theater?
Ooh. Once again, watching or being in a show?
Really? This is open-ended.
Okay.
The number one memory, the number one experience.
Oh my God. That's a good question. Oh, I have a good one. Yes. recently saw Jesus Christ Superstar, and it Great was show. Beautiful. It was beautiful. I saw the 50th anniversary touring cast, and I didn't really know much about Jesus Christ Superstar before I did a reading of it with Theater World.
With us.
And then after that, yeah. And so after a while, I was like, wait, this show is like so much better than I realized. And then I got like kind of obsessed with it.
The bad guys.
Yeah, which was so fun.
Were you, what do we do about Jesus? Yes. Of Nazareth? Yeah.
And I was the other guy.
The low one.
We must find a more permanent solution to our problem.
That's him.
What did they do about so... Jesus? I'm not.
Somebody wants a one man show here.
I can do a Jesus Christ Superstar all by myself. It's one of my favorites. Amazing. But go on. What made this show so special?
Well, for one thing, as you kind of insinuated, the cast recordings are all really weird.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, and they sound all old, kind right? of sing kind of, they sound old, they sound weird, they sing strangely, they like do weird things. And I'm like,
but I love that. Me too. I love that imperfection of the voices.
It's charming.
I like when people sound like they're in the 70s.
They're untrained.
That is so true.
They're just I'm going to sing now. Here I go.
And you're like, okay. Yeah. It's just like, It is fun to listen to, but the thing is, it's like, I saw this production of Jesus Christ Superstar, and it was probably the most vocally intact. I don't want to use the word intact, but like, the vocals were so beautiful. Like, every single Tight. Person sounded mm-hmm. like, yes. And like, when they'd sing together, it was just, everything about it felt so like, well-knit. Like, it was incredible. And like, I just remember like after I was leaving, I was like, how did they do that? Like, I've never seen a show where all the vocals were so, I'm a big like vocals person. I think I'm a singer first. So that was really cool.
I think it's an easy harmonies, easy thing, but you can't, it is hard vocally. I think that's the thing about Jesus Christ Superstar.
And it's entirely different experience hearing it right in front of you than just hearing it in your headphones.
But we did a pretty good job on Zoom. I think.
Oh, yeah.
I practiced my head off for that one.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. No, that one was really cool.
You know, the thing about that? Oh, sorry. I was going to say,
go ahead,
I know
Sarah,
that, you know, the thing about that Jesus Christ Superstar production is, I don't know if you heard that the Judas was in the insurrection on January 6th.
I found that out and I was like, oh.
He got arrested. They pulled him out of the show.
Great that they acted on it, and then the swing, the understudy, got to go on.
Yeah, so
like, that's awesome. Good
the real life bad guy was actually a bad guy.
The real life bad guy.
Was he?
He was not only the bad guy in real life.
Yeah,
he was the bad guy in real life.
That's right.
Yeah, he really did that.
He played such a good bad guy.
They're pulling him out in handcuffs and goes, "Just don't say it."
Yep.
Yeah, he's like.
Now he does Jesus Christ Superstar in jail.
Yes, right.
He's like, look, I'm the method actor. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, he was singing I Don't Know How to Love Him about Trump.
Oof.
Yeah.
But the one at the end where he's like confused and sad.
He's like
and...
screaming.
Yeah. The one he's crying, snots running down his face.
Wonderful. Have you seen the John Legend version of that show?
I've seen clips of it. Because I think before the reading... I like wanted to learn about the show because I really didn't know much about it at all. I think
I
heard
anything.
One or two songs. Yeah, my friends, they like had a joke where they would like they kept singing like the Jesus Christ Superstar.
Mm-hmm.
I think I don't know. It was like some stupid inside joke from a really long time ago, and I didn't know anything about it, so I literally was just like, okay, but it was like it wasn't my inside joke.
Yeah, you were just
I
like
added to it. Yeah, I was like, huh, that's funny. I think, I don't know why, but I think I get it. And then I watched the show because I watched the movie and then I watched clips from it with a friend.
Oh, the movie is weird.
The movie is very weird. I liked it though, I think. It was really good.
Yeah.
To me, the John Legend version is probably one of the best TV musicals that they've done.
Yeah. I was shocked that it was like, I don't know. It's just the people they cast, I was like, this is so random, but like, it's not random, I guess.
You didn't like Annie though, cool. TV music?
No.
I didn't watch Annie. I didn't watch Annie. I don't like Annie. Annie's not it's not my kind of show.
It's not for me either. I'm sure it's cool.
But I think they really cracked the code of like, at least a show like Superstar works best as a like stadium concert rather than what they were doing with like Grease Live and Hairspray, where it's just jumping around to a bunch of sound stages.
Yeah.
I feel like Grease Live could have just been on like the field of a high school or something.
Grease Live was great though. Yeah. I loved Grease Live.
It was good. Yeah.
It was one of the better ones.
But them driving around in the golf cart part, cut that out.
I didn't need Darren Criss being like, and let's go to the principal's office.
Yeah,
let's go to the
junkyard.
It's like, shut up, Darren.
Either be in it or just go away.
I love Darren Criss, but yeah.
And it didn't hurt that Julianne Hough is my crush of crushes.
That's fair.
There you go. Hopelessly devoted.
Yeah. When I worked audience coordination for Dancing with the Stars last season, I very briefly made eye contact with Julianne Hough, and it was like, the moment of my year.
Lucky That's you. Crazy. You're like, thank you, Derek, for getting COVID.
Yeah, like, thank you right. Yeah, that's
the only reason why she
that's
came.
That's why she was in. Yeah, because he got COVID.
Oh my God.
But the Grease episode of Dancing with the Stars this season, come on.
So good.
The best one of the year.
I'm going to be honest, I only watched JoJo Siwa.
Oh, that that's fine. She put on a great show.
Yeah,
she
is amazing. JoJo Siwa was great.
She's so good.
Like meticulous, you know, like really.
Yeah,
like,
she's very talented.
That dance that she did that was dedicated to her grandpa. Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Tears. All right. Well, thank you very much, Aishi, for coming on our podcast. We had a wonderful time talking to you about Zoom Theater and Unwound. Give us one last big old plug for Unwound. We're gonna put all the links in the description, but give us one last pitch on why someone should check it out.
Okay. Well, Unwound is such a cool musical, and it's very different. I feel like if you like theater. If you are someone who likes Greek mythology, if you like LGBT content, there's so much of everything in the show. I feel like you're going to find something you like. And we have worked so hard on the show, so hard. We spent so much time. The editors have been working so hard to bring this to fruition. We just like really hope that you watch it and that you enjoy it and that hopefully Unwound can continue to grow. This is still a workshop, so we're still expanding, but there is the concert version came out it came out on the 1st, and then, so that's on YouTube. Go subscribe to Unwound Beyond the Labyrinth on YouTube and follow us on Instagram at Unwound _ musical. And there's a reading, the second half. So we did act one, that's out. Act two comes out on Sunday. So stay tuned.
What nice, day then you can see the entire Sunday show. Like
yes.
Yes. Yes, Sunday. I can't remember what time, but it's going to be out on Sunday and it'll be on YouTube. So just
Sunday, January
keep an eye out for that.
9th.
Yes.
Well, that means it's already out. This is going up way, way after that.
Amazing. So this is, it's out. Go watch it.
Next up, Broadway. Well, we've attached all the links. check out Unwound Beyond the Labyrinth. Follow us on Instagram at theaterworld_readings. We've got all of our links and stuff there. And we'll see you next time. Zan, you good?
Anything else I'm so good. I'm just really excited to see your musical, Aishi, and you know, watch you, be a star.
Thank
and watch you,
you
shine.
Yeah, I hope you all like it.
We'll see you next time. This is Theater World Podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.